Okay, at the end of the last daf, we were trying to figure out whether the Megillas Tanis, which is a collection of holidays that they had during the second Beis HaMikdash, that were these holidays came about because of certain events that happened over time that I guess in some way related to the Beis HaMikdash, related to the institutions of the Beis HaMikdash, to the institutions that are associated with the Beis HaMikdash, the reputation of the Beis HaMikdash, all kinds of things that they felt were worthy of establishing a holiday during, I don't know, the Baisheni time, and then the collection of holidays were recorded there in this Megillas Tanis. And then at the time of the Churban, the question was, what do they do with all these holidays? Should the holidays continue to be observed? Or, on the contrary, that these holidays have no longer any happy significance, and so we should just abolish all of those holidays. So that was the question. And at first, we proposed that maybe one of the holidays that are described there, which the Gemara thought was a holiday from post Beis HaMikdash, was established. And the argument was that wouldn't make sense to establish such a holiday if the Megillas Tanis collection of holidays was batel at the time of the Churban. They wouldn't make up an additional holiday. And then the Gemara says, well, not necessarily, like it says on the bottom line, Hachmai Skina Bizman Shvez Mikdash Kayim, that holiday was really going on during the second Beis HaMikdash time. Now, what date was the date of that holiday? That holiday was on Gimel Tishrei. That's what it says over here. It says a bit Telasa B'Tishrei. The Gemara now in Yates Amud Aleph says, well, I don't understand the whole thing. This was a during Bayis Sheni holiday that they established in Gimel Tishrei. What do we know is happening on Gimel Tishrei? That's Tzom Gedalia. But during the Beis HaMikdash time, Tzom Gedalia would have been holiday on Tzom Gedalia. However that goes. So that's what the Gemara asks. Tape of Galei anyway, that was already a holiday. Dehavela Yom Sheneherag Bo Gedalia Ben Achikam. And that was, we call it its own, but at that time, on the assumption that the top of the page, Yud Ches Amud Beis, it says that during the Bayis Sheni time, those four tzomos were really holidays, and the possible exception of Tisha B'Av. So it says here, V'tepukalei, that day was already a holiday, the Havala Yom Sheneherag Bo Gedalia Ben Achikam. So the point being that, you see, that could not really have been during the Bayis Sheni period. Because then it would already have been a day of holiday of celebration. Rav says, no, not necessarily. It could be that even though that was already one of the fast day / holiday days of the Psukim in Zechariah, but it might still be worthy of being established as a Megillas Tanis holiday because there's a difference between the two holiday types. Rav lo nitzrucha elo la'esor es shelefanav. That's Shelefanov. Because Rav answers that no, it could be that they intended to make this as a special holiday in order to aser fasting or hespedim on the day before, meaning on Beis Tishrei. On Beis Tishrei. Because as you're going to see later on in the daf over here, that the holidays of Megillas Tanis also carry an injunction against fasting and hespedim on the days before or after those holidays themselves, so as to make kind of a buffer day also before and after. On Erev of a big day, but these are minor holidays that are celebrated over here. So it doesn't relate to that issue, the Tachanan issue. But we're going to see later on why exactly things aren't practiced now the way they were. So it says here. So maybe that's why, even though it seems redundant to make a holiday on a day that was already a holiday, but it's not quite redundant, because maybe there's some kind of additional aspect of the holiday that didn't exist before. Mar says, well, hold on a second. That, the day before the Tzom Gedalia / holiday of Gedalia was Beis Tishrei. typically the Havala Yom Shaliachar Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah. Beis Tishrei should already be a kind of a day of prohibition against Hesped V'tainus because of the fact that it's the day after Rosh Chodesh. Gemara says, no, that whole concept of day before, day after, the buffer day doesn't apply to Rosh Chodesh because Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah del Raisa. Why'd they create such a day, like a buffer day, and an additional day or two before and after? That's because it provides chizuk for the minor holiday. Minor holiday plus a day before and a day after, so then that becomes a kind of a big deal. And so they don't have to do such a thing for Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, which are deoraisas. Deoraisa lo boi chizuk. Gemara says, "Udiraisa lo boy chizuk." The policy of the additional day doesn't apply to the deoraisa. Desanya hayamim ha'elah ha'kesuvim b'megilas tanis asurim bein lefnei bein la'achreihem, but not so shabbosas v'yamim tovim. Shabbosas v'yamim tovim heim asurim lefnei bein la'achreihem mutarim. Okay, so that's the policy that explains why perhaps, at least according to Rav, why perhaps they might have had an incentive to make a different holiday, a Megillas Tanis level holiday, despite the fact that Beis Tishrei was the day after Rosh Hashanah, but that's not enough to create an Isser. And that's why they made this other holiday. But then Gemara says, well, hold on a second. Anyway, but in the middle of this Brisa, it says, and what's the difference? Ma hefesh bein zeh lezeh, halol ledivrei Torah, that the holiday, that the Shabbos and Yomim Tovim are deoraisa, so deoraisas don't require this additional chizuk of the day before, day after, as opposed to the Megillas Tanis holidays, which do require, they're divrei sofrim. The Book of Mar says, but still something is missing, because some Gedalia was not a Megillas Tanis holiday, it was the Nevuah Zechariah holiday. So that kind of is not deoraisa, and it should have had the same requirement of chizuk, and therefore it should have had the same injunction against fasting before and after, and therefore, even considering Tzom Gedalia alone, it should already have been forbidden on Beis Tishrei, so there would not have been any need to have this new holiday from the Megillas Tanis of what's called the Batluad Karta Mishtaraya. The Gemara says, well, not quite, because even though it's true that some Gedalia would not count as a Deoraisa like Shabbosos V'yamim Tovim and Rosh Chodesh, but neither is it like a Megillas Tanis holiday, pure Derabanan. Instead, the Gemara says, well, typically the Havala Yom Shen Lifnei Yom Sheneharag Bo Gedalia Ben Achikam. Whatever happened to that consideration, that it was the day before Tzom Gedalia, which should have had required chizuk, because it's not deoraisa. Gemara Amar Ravashi, Gedalia ben Achikam, Divrei Kabbalah hu. It's true that it's not deoraisa, but it is from the Psukim in Navi, and Divrei Kabbalah refers to Psukim in Tanakh, in Nach specifically. So even though it wasn't created by the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but at least it's mentioned in Nach, and so therefore it has the status of Divrei Kabbalah, V'Divrei Kabbalah, K'Divrei Torah Damu. And for these purposes, we would say Divrei Kabbalah or K'Divrei Torah don't require additional chizuk, and Tzom Gedalia would then have the status of Divrei Kabbalah, and that's why you would not have had an Iser Tainus beforehand, and that's why if they, for some reason, wanted to create a buffer day, because of the events of Batluad Karta Mishtaraya, so then they would have had to make a separate holiday that would have applied to the day before as well. So we have no evidence that particular holiday was post Beis HaMikdash times, and therefore it could certainly have been during Beis HaMikdash, in which case during Beis HaMikdash the Megillas Tanis was in effect, and so we can't prove what was the policy after the Churban HaBayis by Yisheni with respect to the holidays of Megillas Tainus. In other words, we don't know yet whether about the Megillas Tainus or not. It's a little bit funny, this whole question, because, I mean, you could always just check on your calendar and see if it says holiday of whatever every 3 weeks or so of the Megillas Tanis, because I mean, what was going on for all of those years when before they raised this question after the Churban? Well, I don't know. Unclear exactly to me what had been known, what was assumed, what was not known, and what was assumed to be like up for grabs or questionable. So in any case, Masiv Rav Tuvi Bar Masna. Okay, now this Amora Rav Tuvi Bar Masna asks, hold on a second, but I have a kasha against, or at least a raya to one side of the question about Batla Megillas Tanis or not at the Churban. Let's see what he finds. And what he quotes here is the last holiday mentioned in the Megillas Tanis. The last holiday of the Megillas Tanis is the end of Adar. Megillas Tanis is just organized in chapters, the chapters being the months of the year, starting from Nisan and ending in Adar. So the last holiday at the end of Chodesh Adar, which is the last one in the Megillas Tanis, is the following one. The Esra Mitamnaya Bay, in the 28th of Adar, which is pretty much the last 2 days of the year, Asas Basurta Tavsel Yehudai, they got the word, they got the good news. Basurta Tavsel means the good news. Lihudai, the lo yoiden mayoraisa, that they wouldn't have to abandon the Torah, because what had been going on beforehand, shegazra hamalchus gizera, shelo yasku b'torah. Okay, one, you know, periodically they kind of oppress the Jews in this way, and they issue a law about outlawing limud haTorah. And so this had been on the books. The shelo yamulu es b'neihem, sheyichalalu shabbosos. Right, okay, so Torah, Mila, and Shabbos. So it happens to be that this is a set of things that we've seen at other times in history. In any case, ma'asa Yehuda ben Shamua v'chavei Rav. So Yehuda ben Shamua v'chavei Rav, after this was either being proposed or was actually being issued, halchu v'natlu eitza mimatronisa achas shekol gedoli romi mitzuyin etzla. They go and they consult with a woman who was apparently known to have to be a source of great advice, that all Gedoli Romi used to consult with her. And Amra Lahem, and she says to them, Bo'u v'hafginu b'layla. You guys should protest. Protesting might be effective in this case. Bo'u v'hafginu b'layla. So halcha v'hafginu b'layla. And they went and they followed her advice and they had a whole protest. And Amru, Ei shamayim. And they said, by heavens, lo acheichem anachnu, v'lo b'nei avechad anachnu, v'lo b'nei emachas anachnu, manish taninu mikol uma v'lashon, she'atem gozrim aleinu gizei ros kashos. So this is the way they protested. They protested against, the issuing body, the issuing government. And they said, what are you discriminating against us? Why? What's wrong with us? And that did the trick. Ubitlum. So they created a holiday out of a holiday of Yeshua against this Gezeira Ra that was threatening the Torah. So anyway, that's the end. That was the last event that it describes in Megillas Tanis. So now the question is chronology. When did this event happen? Was this a Bayis Sheni event? Was this a post Bayis Sheni event? Well, presumably it was a Bayis Sheni event because all of the holidays in Megillas Tanis are Bayis Sheni event. But the Gemara says no. V'yisal gadaitach b'teila Megillas Tanis. We're going to see in a second. V'yisal gadaitach. So what's the argument? V'yisal gadaitach b'teila Megillas Tanis kamaisa b'teil l'achrona yasa mosifin. If you're going to tell me that at the time of the Churban that all the holidays are canceled, so then it would make no sense to issue this holiday, because of the argument that if the holidays of the Bayis Sheni were canceled, there's no space to create new holidays after the Churban. Now, incidentally, before we go on, let me just point out, the logic and the premise of this argument was the main argument that was used anti-Yom HaAtzmaut. Because the premise of this line is that we have no business to create any holidays at all post the Bayis Sheni. That's the whole point. Because they had a cause to make a holiday, they proposed a holiday, they made a holiday, and the Gemara says it's impossible to have such a thing if the Megillas Tanis is batla. And we're going to see that we don't have any of those holidays, Miglos Tainus. We don't know any of those holidays because we all that it is, that Miglos Tainus is batel. And so the Gemara over here seems to assume that then you have no right to create any new holidays afterwards. So that's the power of this particular line of the Gemara.
Was this holiday that they made like one that you can't do malacha on, or was just the holiday like
Aspid of Tainus?
Like Hanukkah.
Yeah, it's iconic. So the Gemara says, "V'chitei mahachad ami b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayam." What are you going to say? That maybe this holiday, just like we established earlier, that the previous attempted rejection of the Megillas of Bittul Megillas Tainus, we said, well, that doesn't mean anything because that holiday was during the Vayis Sheni. But this holiday, we think, "V'chitei mahachad ami." You're going to consider this also holiday having happened during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, but it can't be. That answer doesn't work here. V'ha Yehuda ben Shamua, we're going to prove that this is impossible because there's a name actually associated with the story, and that is Yehuda ben Shamua. Now, he might not necessarily be a very well-known name, but we know enough about him to know how to place him historically. The Gemara says, V'ha Yehuda ben Shamua, Talmido shel Rebbe Meir. You know that this Yehuda ben Shamua was the Talmud of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir, Basar Hachihava, and Rebbe Meir was post-Mikdash, post-Beis HaMikdash. This nun, how do you know that this Yehuda ben Shamua was a Talmud of Rebbe Meir? This nun, because we were able to find a Mishnah or Brice, and the side it corrects it to a Desanya, on the convention that Desanyas are Brices and Desnans are Mishnayas, and it's not a Mishnah. Kalezach Uchis, Shanikvu Vihitif Lusochan Ever. If you have a glass kli that cracked, and that they tried to repair it by pouring some lead into the glass, presumably this must be effective in some way to be able to repair whole glass punctures or glass damage.
If it's stained glass windows, they usually have lead.
Oh, so you mean that's a lead compound, lead substance that they? Oh, so very cool. So then this.
Kind of sealed, probably works.
Okay, so that apparently works. Lead. There's something else about lead crystal, right? Isn't there some kind of a lead crystal?
They add lead. Crystal.
So in any case, this technology was apparently known back then, and they used to be able to make repairs with the lead, and so the question is about Kabbalah's Tuma.
They didn't have lead in the drinking water back then.
They didn't worry about the lead in the drinking water back then.
Okay, well, obviously the pipes were all lead, so... Okay, so... So anyway, the point is that we don't care so much about what the halacha itself says. And halacha is just talking about whether a particular kli is mekabel tumah or not. Because once a kli breaks, it's no longer eligible. It's not susceptible to tumah. And not only that, but even whatever tumah it had is gone if you break a kli. Question is, but they've broken this kli and now they've repaired the kli. And so Rashi says that what's going on here is the question about whether there's a dinder abundant of tuma yeshana, whether the tuma can kind of come back on its own, just as it was a gzeira that they made, a precaution against people they had some kind of a reason why they made a gzeira called tuma yeshana, and the question is, does this tuma yeshana apply to this case? And it says here, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, or Rabbi Shimon Elazar, depends on the gears on the side. Yehuda ben Shamua mitame mishum Rabbi Meir, bechachami mitaharin. So in any case, you see very clearly that this Yehuda ben Shamua was a Talmud of Rabbi Meir, was at least, Talmud or not Talmud, but the point is that he was at least contemporary or post-Rabbi Meir, and so that places him automatically post-Beis HaMikdash, so any event that he's involved in is going to be a post-Beis HaMikdash event, and therefore the holiday that they established must have been a post-Beis HaMikdash holiday, which is interesting that it made it into the Megillas Tanis. So you see for sure that even after the Megillas Tanis, even after the Beis HaMikdash, we were still making holidays. Gemara says, that's true. And so therefore we have to establish that Tanoihi, that this must reflect the Machlokas HaTanoim. And we know that it is Machlokas Desanya, and we could have saved ourselves this trouble because at the beginning when we were kind of trying to infer what the policy was post Beis HaMikdash. We're now discovering that it's explicit here in this Braisa D'Sanya. Hayamim ha'elu ha'kesuvim b'Megillas Tanis. These holidays described here in the Megillas Tanis. Bein b'zman she'Beis HaMikdash kayim, bein b'zman she'ein Beis HaMikdash kayim, asur and deri Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's shita is that these holidays are permanent. And they apply even after the Churban. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, and Rabbi Yossi holds wrong. Bizman shebeis midish kayim asurin, b'pnei she'simcha hilahem. Ein beis midish kayim utar, b'pnei she'evel hulahem. Okay, so it's machlokes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, but what the status of the holidays of Megillas Tanis post Beis HaMikdash? The Hilchasa, okay, how do we pass it on the whole question of Megillas Tanis? The Hilchasa batlu, the Hilchasa lo batlu. Problem is that we have two traditions about what the psak is on this point. The Gemara says kashi elchasa elchasa. Wait, so how can that be? Sounds like where you have a steering in Piskei Halacha. The Gemara says no, lo kasha kan v'chanukah Purim kan v'shar yomei. And we're all familiar with this that Chanukah Purim are holidays that endure even past the Churban, even though these are holidays that are described in the Megillas Tanis. But the other Shar Yomi, but other holidays are Batel, are Batelim, even after the Churban, and that's why we're not familiar with any of the other ones. We're only familiar with Chanukah Upurim.
What were the other ones?
You have to read the Megillas Tanis, a list of them. Every 3 weeks or so, there was another holiday for some event.
That was a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I know.
We're really.
We gotta go back.
No, we have to kind of feel the loss.
Could it be, or is there anybody who says that these new holidays that they added, because apparently there's a whole list of them, that they're really just for that generation.
Which holidays?
Any of the holidays that they wanted to add, or that they added at those times, like the end of Adar with. That they can now learn.
Well, do you mean during the Mikdash time or
after the Mikdash
post Mikdash time?
Anybody says that you could add a holiday, but really just for that generation, but it's not one that endures?
Yeah. I mean, you can always make temporary commemorations, but the minute you try to make something as a permanent fixture onto the calendar, as a permanent commemoration of some kind of Yeshua or something, so then you have to start figuring out, well, what's the authority to make such a thing? And does it appear to be against the sentiment that this Gemara has here that you can't make any new holidays? Temporary holidays or family holidays, they do those kinds of things. Right, but the Yom HaAtzmaut people are putting this on as a permanent fixture, not as a temporary.
It's permanent for the generation. It's as permanent as long
which
as...
Which generation?
As long as the reason for it still stands. As long as the...
That's permanent. Okay, but in any case, so yeah, so okay, we don't have to get into the ins and outs of the Yom HaAtzmaut issue. All right, so the Gemara says back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "I'll different holidays. They used to send the shluchim to inform the Bnei Hagola about what was decided in the Sanhedrin with respect to the determination of the Kiddush HaChodesh." And it says here in the Mishnah, "Al shisha chadashim hashluchim yotzim." That's what it says in the Mishnah on Yotessim with Aleph. So now over here in Yotessim with Beis, the Gemara picks up from that. It says here, one of the months that they would send the writers out to inform the Bnei Hagola was Al Elul, Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. The Al Tishri, Mipnei Takanas HaMoados. They would send the writers out on Elul to let them know when Elul's Aleph Elul was with definitiveness. So that they'll be able to calculate when to expect Rosh Hashanah to be. But then they also send out people, telling them when it was determined that Rosh Hashanah was. The Gemara says, hold on a second. If you're already sending the shluchim out for Elul, at Tishrei lamalu. What they need the extra writers out for Tishrei? V'chitema dilma ibruha le'elul. Well, what are you going to say? That it's because you have to let them know what was decided about Tishrei, meaning maybe Elul was 29 days, maybe Elul was 30 days, and because that's the unknown, and it was decided at one time in Beis Din which day was the day of Rosh Hashanah. See, unfortunately, this is expecting that everybody has very clearly in their heads that the months can be either 29 or 30 days long. And that's the same as saying, Rosh Chodesh of the following month could either be on the day 30 or the day 31 of the previous month. If it's on day 30 of the previous month, that means that the previous month was really only 29 days long, and that there was no day 30 of the previous month because it became Aleph of the subsequent month. You're supposed to have all of this very sharply and clearly in mind so that they can talk about the same day two different ways, considering the length of the previous month and considering how many days were Rosh Chodesh or which day was the day of Aleph of the following Chodesh. So it says over here that if Elul was 29 days, that means Tishrei was, Aleph Tishrei was on the day that would have been Lamed of Elul, but it wasn't because it was Aleph Tishrei. So it says here, well, what was the question? The question is, did they make Elul 30 days long and then it's only the following day became Rosh Hashanah? But it can't be. V'ha'ama Rav Chinana bar Kahana amar Rav, mi'amos Ezra ve'elech lo matzino Elul me'ubar. We have an old tradition that the entire Bayis Shadi period, they never, we don't find that they ever made Elul 30 days long. It was always 29 days. So knowing that, then you automatically know that as soon as, when you know Elul's determination, there is no other unknown when it comes to Tishrei. And you can predict what's going to happen in Bayis, and therefore you have full knowledge of which day was the day of Rosh Hashanah and all the other holidays of Tishrei. The Gemara says, well, you know, lo matzinu delo itzterich. Well, it doesn't say there was ever a law that it had to be that Rosh Hashanah was always on after day 29, that Elul was always a 29-day long month. It was only describing this was always what they did. So if that's the case, so then you couldn't for sure rely on that. It says here, lo matzina, we don't find that they ever made it long. De lo itzrich, because they never needed to. Ha itzterich, may I bring it lay. But if there ever was a need to make it longer, then they would have. What need would be the need? So Rashi and Tosas have a bit of a question here about what need would drive the need to make it longer. Rashi says that it's lo adu rosh. That it's lo adu rosh. And Tosa says, that can't be it, because if it's ever a lo adu rosh consideration, then the Bnei HaGola would know that too. They would also know lo adu rosh. They could also calculate that this would have to be pushed off. So, okay, so Tosa just says, it just means that lo matzina, that the Edom didn't come. But if the Edom didn't come, so then they'd have to push it off to the next day. And that's, of course, the concept behind the Gemara, you know, earlier in the Gemara Beitza, that we said both places about how if the Edom come too late in the day, then it's going to cause trouble. Yeah. And then at one time it did happen, and at one time, because the Edom came so late in the day, then they got into trouble. All right. In any case, the Gemara says, wait a second, but if you're going to allow for a lengthening of Elul, hamikalkil Rosh Hashanah, it's going to throw off Rosh Hashanah, because like the problem that we've encountered, you know, before. Where it says, well, so what? So mutav tikalkel Rosh Hashanah, v'lo yiskalkelu kol hu me'odos. Well, okay, so what? So that's true. That might throw off Rosh Hashanah, but you have no choice because you don't want to throw off the correct day of all of the holidays of the month. If they're supposed to be pushed off, then you have to. Dekanami dekatani al tishrei v'nei tekanas ha'me'odos shma'amina. And we can also prove that clearly there was always the possibility, even if it was not so likely, but there was a possibility that they would make a long Elul and make Rosh Hashanah on the second of the two options. And therefore, and you can prove it from the fact that it says that they would send out the Shluchim on Tishrei also. It sounds a little bit circular, but it's not quite. It's not a bit circular like, well, wait a minute, we started out by saying that they wouldn't need to, and then we're saying, I guess they need to because they would send out the Shluchim. It's not quite circular, because what it means is, we were wondering why there would have been a need for them, because we had a tradition that they never made the Rosh Hashanah long, and that the answer that was given was, well, they always had the possibility of being long, and that's why they needed the Shluchim, and therefore, you see, that was why, that we can be sure that there was always the question about whether they would have made an Elul go long. The Svarim always talk about how, even in the Gola, not knowing the situation of Rosh Hashanah that drove the need for 2 days of Sukkot, But for some reason, you don't find the 2 days of Yom Kippur. So to the extent of Yom Kippur, they did rely on this Rosh Hashanah always falling out on the day that follows a Elul Chaser. But still, you know, because the stakes were higher, the question of fasting 48 hours in a row requires you really need to be certain that it was required. But if you have a rove like this that you could rely on, so then they would rely on it. But for other holidays, then they didn't rely on it because they would treat it like it's a real suffix. Okay, in any case, 2 dots. V'yal Kislev m'pnei Yachanukah v'yal Adar m'pnei Yapurim. It says they would send out shluchim on Adar, so as to notify people which day is the right day for Purim. The Gemara says v'ilin is Abra Hashana yotzen afal Adar hashen m'pnei Yapurim lo katani. Ah, but you know what? It doesn't say in the Mishnah, but in the event that they would have an Adar Sheni, then have to send out shluchim again to let people know when the Adar Sheni determination was. Aha, so what's the significance of that omission, of failing to say that they would send out shluchim again in Adar Sheni if they had decided to make a leap year? The leap year meaning that they would make a second Adar, and why aren't they sending out shluchim in Adar Sheni? Gemara says, Masnisen delo ke Rebbe. Clearly, the point is that this Mishnah does not agree with Rebbe's shita. Desani Rebbe Yomer Ibn Sabra Hashana Yotzen Afal Adar Sheni Ibn Yapurim. Clearly, this Mishnah holds against Rebbe. Rebbe says that is what they would do. That if they had an Adar Sheni, they'd have to send out the shluchim again because Purim is going to have to be on Adar Sheni. The Gemara says, why would anybody dispute that? Gemara says, no, you know why? Because presumably this machlokes reflects a broader machlokes about when did they do Purim. Lema b'hakam if l'gidim marsavar kol mitzvah sana agos b'sheni no agos b'rishon. Marsavar kol mitzvah sana agos b'sheni ain't agos b'rishon. It sounds like what's going on is that they had a machlokes when there's a double Adar, which Adar is the one that celebrates Purim. The Gemara Megillah presents this as a multi-way machlokes. And the question is, which Adar is the Adar that gets Purim in it? Is it Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? We all know that we pasket Adar Hasheni is what Purim is observed in. But maybe the Tana of this Mishnah was assuming only Adar Rishon, and therefore there was no need.
Weren't there other halachos in Adar Rishon besides Purim that they had to be
minimized? I mean, the Mishnah in Megillah talks about that, and the Brisa in Megillah talks about other ones also. Maybe that's part of the multi-way machlokas.
When they added that month, why couldn't they add a cheshvan, and this way we don't have a holiday to think where it should be in the first or the second month?
That is a super great question, but...
They added another month.
That is a great question. The Gemara Megillah asks, why is it Adar that gets added? And the Gemara says it's based on a pasuk in Megillah's Esther, which says Hachodesh Hashneimasar Hachodesh Adar, that if you put a month anyplace else in the year, then that makes the 13th month some month other than Adar, and Adar has to be even the 12th. But that might itself really be only a simon of a bigger issue, which is, You add the year at the end. When you run out of months, it's 12, so you make a 13th month. It doesn't make sense to put another month in any other place in the calendar because all you're doing is you're just tacking on a 13th month onto the 12 months that already exist. Mm-hmm. And tacking on an extra month falls at the end of the year. That's other change. Uh-huh. So it's not as if you have to place it in the middle of the year. You're not placing it anywhere. It's just at the end.
So therefore, should have been observed on the first Adar, not on the second Adar. The second Adar is just an addition.
That is such a good point. There shouldn't have been any possibility of a second Adar being the month of Purim or any of the other events, because it should not really be an Adar. Problem is that they didn't think of a 13th name. Right, so why did they think of a 13th name? It's not because they couldn't think of a 13th name. It's because they held al pidin that it was going to be Adar again, which means that really either one of the Adars is actually going to be the Adar. And what I said before might actually be false. It could be that they really are placing an extra month. The bottom line of this Tosfos on the bottom of the page, Adar Samach LeNisan, makes reference to a question in the Talmud Yerushalmi: which month is the actual month that we consider to be the supplemental month of the year? And the way I described it, it's obvious. There's no contest. It's the one at the end. But it happens to be the Tosfos quotes the Machlokas about this, and we hold Al Pidin, like what you said, that the regular events of Adar are utter sheni, and therefore really it's utter harishon, and that's the blank. That's the additional month. That's the supplemental month. Somehow or other, we're artificially inserting a 13th month. We're still calling it Adar. We're calling the next one also Adar, so that's kind of a peculiar role by itself, the fact that we're calling two Adars also Chodesh Adar. But the point being that this seems to be where we stand on the question of the supplemental month. It's a little bit peculiar that it was that way.
If you put them in Adar Rishon, then you'd have to wait 2 months to pay Pesach.
Okay, so that might have been the consideration. The Gemara says that might have been why they insisted that you wait until the later one. Not so much because it'll throw people off between Adar and Nisan, but because there's a thematic connection between the Geula of Purim and the Geula of Nisan they wanted to highlight. Okay, so in any case, so that our Gemara is talking about, maybe that's what this Machlokes is about. Maybe the Machlokes is all about which day, which month is the month that gets Purim's celebration. Right? Lema b'hakam, if we give Marsavar, call Mitzvah in August, B'sheni in August, B'rishin, Marsavar, call Mitzvah in August, B'sheni in August, B'rishin. The Gemara says, nah, that doesn't necessarily have to be what this Machlokes between the our Mishnah and Rebbe is about. Lo, the Kuli Yalma Mitzvah in August, B'sheni in August, B'rishin. Let's even assume that everybody knows that Purim has to be practiced on the second Adar. You still have a machlokas whether there's any need for shluchim for Adar Sheni, because that turns into the question of is there variability in the Rosh Chodesh decision for Adar Sheni. In other words, when we add a supplemental month, is that month a fixed length? Is that a fixed length month? How much are we adding? A 30-day additional month into the year, a 29-day month into the year. So if it were one or the other, then it means we would be adding a fixed extra length to the year. Right? That's the whole point of adding the extra month. So is that also variable? It's also a variable additional month? Or is that at least fixed? So it says over here, V'hacha, no, maybe it's not a question about Purim. His question is about what are the options for the Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni? The Hacha be'ibur shana k'mifugid desanya kama ibur shana. How long is the extra amount of time of the extra month? Lamin yom Rishim Gamliel Amar Chodesh. So maybe this is the machlokas. If you're going to hold that it's lamin yom, then that's a fixed amount that's predictable, and therefore you know there's no need to send in shluchim because you know that they made Adar Sheni the 31st day. In other words, after a 30-day Adar Rishon, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Chodesh. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's a Chodesh. It's a little bit vague. We're going to see in a second what that means. Ma'ishna Lamed. So the point is, at this point, we're suggesting that this is the basis of the Machlokas. If you hold that it's Lamed and predictable, you don't have any need for any additional Shluchit. Once you know when Adar Rishon was determined, that defines definitely this, the Adar Sheni too, because there's no room for any variation between. But the one who holds that you need shluchim is presumably because it's not determined. So maybe that's what Hashem Gamliel Shita of Chodesh. Rashi says, what does that mean? Ma'ishna lamed diyadi, Chodesh nami yadi. And then Rashi just explains the premise of the question is that Chodesh just means that he was arguing, so it's not 30, it's 29 fixed. So if it's 29 fixed, it's the same foreknowledge as 30 fixed, and therefore you wouldn't need to have any shluchim sent out for Adar Sheni because there was no choice to be made, and therefore there was no unknown for Adar Sheni. The Gemara says, Amar Papa, no, that's not what he meant. When he said Chodesh, he just meant that it's not determined. Mandi Amar Chodesh, Ratza Chodesh, Ratza Shloshim. No, Rav Papa just meant that when Rav Shimon Gamliel said Chodesh, he just means that it's either. So you don't know, and therefore, whatever the determination is made, it has to be sent out to let people know, because it could have gone either way.
But not Al Piriya, it's not.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is that what's the motivation? You'll see in a second. This sounds like it's about like whatever they want to do, but it should be presumably driven by the Riyah. That should be what's going on. But maybe for the Chodesh HaIbur, maybe there are other considerations that trump the Riyah. So anyway, it says here, So at this point, the Gemara thinks that presumably is what the machlokis is. It's about whether or not there was variability in the Chodesh HaIbur. So, Heyed Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Mishim Kala Kadisha di Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, who is a transitional Tana Amora, he gives us information, Mishum Kihala Kadisha di Yerushalayim, from the holy community in Yerushalayim, that what? Al Shnei Adarim Shem Mekadshim Osam B'yom Ibureihen. That both others are always going to be following Chodesh. The both others are Chodesh Chasers. Gemara says, Lememra, the Chaserin Avdinan, Melein Lo Avdinan. They will, by policy, only make these Adars Chodesh Chasers. And so that means that Adar Harishon is going to be 29, Adar Sheni, therefore, is determined as being on the having only a one-day Rosh Chodesh, and then the following Adar Sheni, which is Nisan, is also going to be fixed and determined.
But if you're making them both 29 by default, and let's say they were supposed to have been 30, so the following month of Nisan might end up being like 32 days. Like,
well, it wouldn't be 32 because
31 days.
What it will mean is that as it plays out, the next month will not have any Riyas Halavana on day 29, which means it'll have to be a Malay. The following month also will probably not have Riyas Halavana until the following day, in which case it'll also be Malay. But then by that time, it already had caught up.
I see, because I'll make it even though someone...
Well, you only have the option of 29 to 30.
31, but we're still going to make Rehoboth on day 30.
Because they're not going to wait for the Riyah. They can't wait that long. The maximum that a month can be is 30 days long.
But if it's not 31. I mean, reality is it doesn't change months until the 31st day.
Yeah, so that means that it'll just take two more months to catch up. Yep. But the error won't be more than a day, even when it was behind. So in any case, the Gemara says, La'apuke mi didarash Rav Nachman bar Chasida. Here, Rav Nachman bar Chasida says that he hated Rabbi Simoi. He heard an edus from Rabbi Simoi. Mishem Chagai Zachario Malachi. It's like they're trying to, quote from the early heavy guns about what these policies of Kiddush HaChodesh are. So he's quoting all the way back to Chag Yisrael Malachi, Al Shnei Adarim She'im Ratzu La'asos and Shnei'en Melein Osin. Shnei'em Chaserin Osin and Echad Malei Echad Chaser Osin. So their policy was that there's no policy. In other words, that it could go both Chaser, both Malei, or the first one Malei and the second one Chaser. V'kacha Yonogin Begola. It's unclear to me 100% what that means. V'kacha Yonogin Begola. That was the practice always in the Golas. I guess what it means is that the practice was always to not know. So in other words, to not rely upon the predictions or the policies or anything, because like that we just not know. I don't know. That's what it seems to me like. So that's what it means. Umishim Rabbeinu Amru. But when Rav came, he says that that's not what they have to practice. And Rav was post-Mikdash, of course. But it was still during the time where there was a Kiddush Al Pi Ariyah going on, so there was no fixed calendar yet. So Mishim Rabbeinu Amru Liolam Echad Malei Echad Chaser Ad Sheivod Alachasher Hukba Rosh Chodesh Bizmano. You have the right to expect that the way it was always the way it was being done in the Mikdash is the first Malei, the second Chaser Ad Sheivod Alachasher Hukba Rosh Chodesh Bizmano. Unless you find out for sure that it wasn't that way. Okay, Shalchu Lei Lamar Ukva. They sent word to Mar Ukva in Bavel, Adar Hasamach Lenisan Liolam Chaser. The Adar Hasamach Lenisan, Adar Sheni, or if it's only a single Adar, it's Chodesh Adar, is always 29 days, it's always Chaser. And therefore, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is always a one-day Rosh Chodesh. That's a policy. It's unclear to me exactly how you can have such a policy. How can you have the policy? Because what would happen if, let's say, there was no Riyas Halavana that month? So what do they do? So they bypass that? You'll see in a second that what's going to happen is they might have to bypass that. But there are two different ways to bypass that. You'll see a little bit about how, I think maybe in the next daf or two, they get into the question, later on at the end of the parak, they might get into the question about bypassing the yes the mitzvah of Kazir Eved Kadesh. In any case, so that's what they said was their policy. Masi Rav Nachman, asked Akasha, hold on, if that's really the policy, so then there was no question about when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, so then there would never be any need to have Shluchim sent out to inform people about Chodesh Nisan. But that's not quite the kasha that's being asked here. The kasha that's being asked here is, Masi Rav Nachman, Al Shnei Chadashim Mechalulin Es HaShabbos. This is referring to the other time that you had to have people, that you had to have dispatched people. In this Mishnah, we're dealing with dispatching people from the Sanhedrin out to the Golis to let them know about what was decided in the Beis Din. But this line here that we're up to right now is referring to a different Mishnah, which is referring to the people out in the country who spotted the new crescent moon soon after sunset, and they have to get word to Beis Din the following morning that there was a re'iyah, that they saw the moon last night.
And it was a Friday night.
So it says here that there are 2 months that they would authorize Chilul Shabbos to some extent or another. We found out when we learned the sugya how much of Chilul Shabbos would be tolerated for this purpose. And one of them was Nisan. Al Nisan ve'al Tishrei. Those are the 2 months. So the Gemara says, the Yamat Vishlam is Zimnin Ma'le v'Zimnin Chaser Mishamachim Mechalalina. So you're going to tell me that sometimes it's Mali, sometimes it's Chaser, and that's why, you know, anybody who has the experience of the Re'iyas HaLevana, they have to get to Beis Din, and they have to let them know. But Aliyam Re'iyolam Chaser, but if the policy anyway is going to be they're making the declaration that they were one way or the other, so then, Amay Mechal Alina. So then who needs them to have to be Mechal Shabbos just to get there, because they were going to do that anyway. So they didn't have to show up. They would have had no effect anyway. Gemara says no, because Misham Mitzvah L'Kadosh Al HaRe'iyah. Because that's true that they were going to do it anyway, but they want to do it by compliance with the mitzvah of doing it Al Pi Eidim, who say that they saw it. Al Pi Eidim, as Rashi says. So that's the point. The point is that you do have a role. If you saw the thing, you get to Beis Din early enough so that that way, even though they were going to, sometime during the day, they were going to make the executive decision to make it Rosh Chodesh anyway, but that would have been a bypassing of the Kiddush Al Pi HaRe'iyah, and they don't want to do that. So they, right, so apparently that's enough of a justification to issue the Chilul Shabbos so that they should do a Kiddush Al Pi HaRe'iyah.
How can you trust the Eidim with the Mechal Shabbos?
We tell them to, so they're doing the right thing.
I don't know, you know, if two of them right. Came riding up the shops, I don't know if I would take their word for it.
Okay.
Something's kosher. Which app?